Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to a new episode of Old Lady's Favorite Muslim Lady. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be at your service in the coziest place for women. Well, and here with me, I have Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, really, for coming here. Well, it's always a pleasure to be here with you, an honor, a great honor to be with all these great ladies that are listening to us. So there's always this important topic of who should not marry each other. Which kind of people, which categories of people should not marry each other? Now, this is very important. Personally speaking, individually speaking, each individual has got a type, and then they must go for a type that would be so compatible with their own category, with their own personality type. But then usually what we see in the normal everyday life is that people, first of all, get an intention of marriage. Then they find someone who they would believe that supposedly is the best one for them as the best other half. And then they actually plunge into marriage. But then there is this very important thing that there are some types of people that shouldn't marry each other at all. Because then that would lead to nowhere. So today we're going to ask Sister Zainab to help us know who are the categories, the personality types, the type of individuals that shouldn't get into marriage with each other.
Marriage in the eyes of Islam is the weaving of souls. It's the alignment of destinies and the crafting of a lifelong trust. So choosing care is very important and choosing with care, as you said, like it would lead to nowhere if not chosen correctly. Like Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, said, marriage is my sunnah, and whosoever turns away from my sunnah is not of me. So having like holding that tremendous importance and also beauty, there comes the immense responsibility of choosing carefully who should marry who. So first of all, those whose faith and values clash should not marry each other, according to me. We do have like who should not marry who in their terms of jurisprudence as well, like when we talk in terms of fiqh, like you cannot marry the mahrams and the breastfeeding mothers and others.
The very obvious stuff fiqh, that every Muslim should know.
Right, but I'm talking in general terms, like when you look beyond that, the people who you can marry. So again, in that category, who you should not marry. So those who clash in your faith and values, the first and the most critical division is spiritual.
Exactly.
I would say.
Yeah.
A person whose
heart. But they don't take it into consideration when they are in the way of marriage. Unfortunately, I don't know why. In many cases, like you are in a spiritual girl and then you found someone who might be compatible with other criteria that you have set for yourself. But then you would be very much flexible about his spiritual holdings, like about what perceptions does he hold as for religious stuff and spiritual stuff.
Right. A person must be educated about this, that a person whose heart beats with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot find peace in the arms of one who belittles the sacred.
Exactly. Right?
So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not marry polytheistic women until they believe. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us here, those who clash with you in the faith, try not to marry them.
So this is an important border.
Yeah. Yeah,
you shouldn't cross that a limit.
Yes, because as I said, this heart won't find peace in the arms of the disbelief, or I would say the belief who are not very, who belittle.
Exactly. So the first rule: those who do not have the same religious, spiritual, and righteous perceptions like you or close to you are not the best marriage materials.
Yes. So I would say like the heart anchored in prayer, modesty and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot tether itself to a heart that swims in the heedlessness and disobedience.
Well, now there comes a question. I would end this part before we go for the break with this question, that imagine there's someone who's got the, not the same, because there's no identical perception in this world, but he has got a sort of perceptions, religious perceptions, that is close to your own perceptions. But we do believe that in the ordinary, on the planet Earth, when we say that someone is religious, that doesn't mean that they would not get into the trap of selfishness, of lying, of sometimes being so angry, sometimes being so anxious. So they could have these things as well. Therefore, the question is religious perception enough for marriage?
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Is religious perception enough for marriage?
Of course, this is not the only option that we have. And there are so many things we have to look at. There are so many things we should not be marrying someone on. Like, there are many other factors. That
I know. But then we were just, before the break, well, welcome back. This is Muslim Lady. We were just talking about marriage. Is it enough for a marriage to happen only because someone is a religious person? And then your answer was a definite no, because there are some other factors as well. Yes. And then you said that there are some other deterrents for a marriage. It's not just the religious stuff. Like, for example, someone is religious, this is not going to be enough. Having this one and only criterion is not going to work out for a marriage.
Yeah.
Because among the religious people, since they are not infallible, since they might fall into the trap of sinning, like being selfish is a sin.
Right.
Being arrogant is a sin. Being angry and not knowing how to control it is a sin. So then there are many of these factors that you should consider as well.
Right. Many factors. So, for example, as I was talking about the values and faith, values and faith are the foundation. When shared values, without these values, the love collapses under the trials, because there are always trials in life, right? And it cannot bear the weight of trials if you do not have faith.
Yeah.
So from a psychological point of view, mismatched core or beliefs lead to emotional exhaustion as well. Coming out of faith and values, other factors that I would say, the immature should not marry immature. Like, marriage is not the place for those who are not yet adults in soul, even if their bodies are tall and their faces are
Look wise.
Yeah.
You could be a child and you're 30.
Yeah. So two who are prisoners of their own egos, quick to anger, slow to forgive, eager to blame, fearful to sacrifice, will only sharpen each other's wounds.
Exactly.
So they cannot be much compatible with
each
also,
other. I would add to that list, being always a taker and not a giver. In many relationships, you see that among the, I'm talking about the couples, about the married couples. In many occasions, there's one of them who's always so selfless, so giving, and the other one is always so selfish and so just as a taker.
Yeah.
So this one also could work as a problem.
It is,
so you
indeed.
Can never marry someone who's an always taker.
Yes. A selfless person deserves a selfless person,
exactly.
Not a selfish person. So also, like the infallible say, we always pray for our risk increase or increase our risk, or we have deeds
that is
like
the
charity.
Wealth or the blessings.
Yeah, it's the provision.
Mm-hmm.
So when we, for example, when it said if you give charity, it increases your risk. So one of the, I remember that one of the narrations from the infallibles, it says the worst provision is a bad spouse. So looking these factors is very important.
Because that would be a full stop to your life. Like no matter how long or short your lifetime is going to be, if you do not pick the right person, the right other half for your life, for this journey, you're going to be drained.
Yeah. You see, marriage demands patience. It demands sacrifice. It demands silent forgiveness. But for an immature person, marriage becomes a battleground than a sanctuary.
Exactly. Marriage, I do believe, is one of the very hardest decisions of our life as individuals who are living on earth. Now, we're addressing women and Muslim lady. That's why we focus on women to be careful about some factors, who they should not marry. Because the addressee of this program is all the ladies of the planet Earth. So we already have a number of things to be careful about right now. By now, you already have mentioned a lot of things that we have to take into consideration. And then in today's world, many people think about the psychological factors and, you know, the personality types and whatever. So these things also should not be ignored.
Yeah. So I would say another important factor for me is like the abuser should not marry the one who does not abuse.
Exactly. A selfless. Just imagine how lucky they would be. An abuser marrying someone who is so selfless and kind.
Right. See, one whose tongue is a whip must never wed. The one who never, you know, curses anyone, mm-hmm. Whose soul is tender. So the marriage of the oppressor and the oppressed is not a union blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The marriage of heaven and hell.
Yes, it's cruelty built on the exchange of gold rings, you know.
Yeah.
So modern science also echoes this truth. Marriages where one spouse is emotionally abusive led to mental health disorders, physical illness, and also spiritual mm-hmm. decay. Apart from this, Imam Qasim al-Islam also said, do not give your daughters to the one who is abusive.
Exactly.
Right? In terms
yeah,
of like
true,
the
yes.
Any sort of abuse is discouraged in Islam. But here, Imam Qasim al-Islam particularly talks about who abuse with tongue.
And manner is also very important. Like in our religion, yeah. There's a huge focus on manner, on politeness.
Yes.
Like our prophet came actually to teach us kindness in the manner
yes,
and
Prophet,
being modest.
May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. He said, Allah did my ta'adib and I did the ta'adib of Imam Ali al-Islam, the adab. I taught him the adab, the manners. And
politeness.
It was taught to me by the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Now, another factor is the dreamer should not get married to a detached.
Exactly, yeah. See, that would be hell.
Yes, if one dreams of a home filled with warmth, companionship, laughter, and the other seeks only solitude.
Yeah, and I guess another point, just it came to my mind, a person who is a pessimist should not marry an optimist.
Yes, yes.
That would be much of excruciating hell.
Yeah, so it would be like two travelers walking in opposite directions,
exactly.
Right? So compatibility of goals is a mighty pillar. The Infallibles again taught us, look at the deen, look at the akhlaq, look at the character, look at the family background. So these are important.
And do not ignore anything. I guess all the details are important.
Yes. So if your futures do not sketch on the same horizon, do not build the ship together.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very true. Adding to that, I would just wrap up today's episode with this sentence that sometimes love is very beautiful. Sometimes having too much of compatibilities is too beautiful, but that's not enough. For a life, you have to work on both the heart and the mind. Both of them should back you up. It's not a lonesome journey that you go while you give everything and then waiting for the other one to get better. Marriage is not going to make anyone better. Marriage is just going to bring the truest version of you out in a deeper way. So try to be careful about every single detail that you see in this journey and be aware. Being cautious is pretty much better than then searching for remedies. So this was all for today's episode. I hope all the women that are listening, Muslim lady, are in the best moods ever and having the best futures ever in front of them, ahead of them. So this was all for today's episode. I hope you stay healthy and wealthy forever. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges.